Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, Paris. You just got back to the States.
Hey, good morning. I'm still tired, but it's good, good to be back home.
Yeah, and I would like to apologize to everybody listening or watching this. I'm a little sick, so I'm not 100%, you know, good yet. So, but we're going to continue the show here. We're going to be talking about Gamescom. How was the Paris experience going there for the first time? We have a Bungie interview, right, Paris, for this podcast?
Yes. We're going to do, at the end, we're going to do an interview with Bungie talking about Destiny 2. Shadowkeep is with Deej and Ovar Hallison. He is the UI and UX director over there at Bungie.
Awesome. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you could subscribe to any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Just follow us, subscribe. It's totally free. And also mention to your friends, family, share it to the world, and help us get new listeners here, Gamer Tag Radio.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, man. So I know you had a recap on the last episode. I mean, a couple episodes ago of like your first day attending Gamescom. So let's fast forward to a day later. I know you got to play a couple of games that you couldn't get an interview, but you got some hands on, and we'll go from there, man. So how was the experience overall, man, for you?
It was fantastic going to Gamescom overall. I'm very happy that I got that opportunity to do it. And, you know, it's just wild that I was completely by myself. I went there by myself. Everything I did was completely solo. It was a great learning experience. It was great to be able to go to Europe. I met so many amazing people while I was there. I mean, some familiar faces and then just some brand new ones. And, learning a little bit of German, figuring out how to get around the city of Cologne on my own. Just overall, it was really good. Like I said, I already did the day one recap, so I won't go over that stuff again. But I will start it by saying this. I got to play Disintegration. And that's a game. Private Division is publisher. It's coming from those guys. I'm screwing up. Marcus Leto's actually company is V1 Interactive, I believe that's the name. Yes. So I got a chance to go hands-on with it, and I got to play the 5v5 PvP mode that they have, and this game isn't what I thought it was going to be when I first heard about it. I thought it was going to be some standard first person shooter sci-fi thing, right? Just, hey, the guy that helped create Master Chief and was the lead on Halo Reach made this, right? Marcus Leto. But when we did the presentation, we got hands-on. What this actually is, it's a first-person shooter in the traditional sense, but it is also an RTS at the same time. You have troops on the ground that you command as well. And the way that they presented it is kind of the left hand and the right hand. You know, most people are used to doing things right-handed, but they're not used to doing things with the left hand, right? And the beauty of this is, yeah, you can do the first person shooter stuff, you know, basically the right hand is your first person shooter stuff, but the left hand is your RTS. And it takes a minute to get used to that, the control scheme. But once it, dude, I'm telling you, once it clicks when you're playing, just magic. It is absolute magic. Things just made so much more sense when we're doing the PvP stuff. Like I said, I'm doing my traditional first person shooter stuff, but then I'm sending in my troops and I'm pulling off combos together. Dude, it is so good. And that was just the PvP. That was just one mode of PvP that we played. So after that, I actually got to sit down with Marcus Leto, which that interview is up on Gamertag Radio right now. And we just got to talk about the game and just their aspirations. And the beauty of this is it's a small team making it. This isn't Bungie or, you know, or I don't know, 343 or something crazy like that, where it's this huge studio of hundreds of people that are making this game. It's 30 people making this game. And even when we had the presentation, it was actually the art director that gave the presentation. And you could just, you could hear and see the passion that they have behind this. And even talking to Marcus, just the passion that he has as obviously the founder of this company making this game. And the fact that it's so small, intimate, everybody in the company has input on what they're doing. And I really appreciated that. And like I said, I could just see that they were truly putting their heart and soul into this. So I'm telling everybody right now, 2020 comes, put this on the list. It's on the list. It is absolutely on the list, a game that people want to play. And this has nothing to do with the story in it. And obviously you can listen to the interview where I ask about some of that stuff. But that was a highlight for me. Now, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I talked about it day one I played the Avengers. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I already talked about that. So I won't get into that too much. But another thing I did just in my day two, my ended thing, I went back to CD Projekt Red. Of course I did, right? And yeah. I got to play The Witcher 3 in undocked mode, in mobile mode, because the first time it was docked, and that's how most people got to play. So shout out to the folks at CD Projekt Red. They actually undocked it and let me play it handheld. Dude,
amazing. I can tell it was amazing.
I have to have it. I have to have it. To have The Witcher 3 wherever you go is going to be such an amazing thing that I have to play it all over again. You know, in portable mode. I can't wait for it. So, yeah, like I said, did that. It was great. I actually saw Mike Pondsmith at the
scene. Oh, again? Oh, my God.
No, that was my first time ever seeing him. That was my first time
really?
Seeing him.
Oh, really? I seen him the first Cyberpunk presentation, but he was just there, like, running around doing some stuff, and that's it. So, yeah. Okay. Oh.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I didn't get to talk to him because he had walked off into an interview room for whatever reason. So I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I got to see him. And I was like, ah, man, I wish I could at least have taken a picture, shook his hand or whatever. I did that. You know, again, at Private Division, I got to see Kerbal Space Program 2. I was in a presentation for that. Man, I want that game. I want it. I didn't realize I wanted it because I didn't play the first one. But going through the sequel and seeing what they're doing, I was like, this is going to be a lot of damn fun, basically building your rockets and trying to take off and go to these other worlds. And what the sequel's doing, that the first one is that just building your rockets and that portion of it is just part one. Part two is going to be actually exploring universes, exploring galaxies, worlds, things like that. It's not No Man's Sky in that way. I mean, it's not going to be that in depth. But just the whole package of taking a concept, building a rocket, building the ship, building something that can actually explore around space, landing it on another planet, walking. I mean, dude, there is a layer there that is going there. I can see hundreds of hours being invested into a game like that. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. The other thing I saw at Private Division was The Outer Worlds again. And we'll have that interview out later in the week. That was good because, you know, Danny and I obviously had already went to the preview event. We had hands on with it. So I didn't really recap a lot of that. But it was one of the developers that was at the preview event. We didn't get to talk to him, but he was there. So he knew me. So he remembered me. So we kind of just vibed off of that and just kind of explored some of the other stuff that we weren't able to talk about during our preview event interview as well. So that was really good.
Question. Yeah. I do have a question on that. Did the Switch version came up at all?
Yes,
during
it did.
Conversation?
Yes, it did. Okay. We talked about the Switch. But again, no spoilers. We'll save that for an interview later this week. But we absolutely addressed that the Switch version for The Outer Worlds is coming as well. So that was really good.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So, I mean, that... I saw Control as well. Let me talk about that. Because, unfortunately... The interview I did, the audio is just not going to be salvageable on that. So I do apologize for that. But I want to thank Remedy, 505 Games. They reached out. They had me come to a private session. I literally sat down with the narrative director for Control. And she just, for 30 minutes, just walked me through the game. And I was trying to do the interview where she was playing it and explaining things to me. And the back and forth, but just the crowd noise, and Danny's heard it, but the crowd noise and everything. Yeah. It's just the audio, you could kind of make it out, but it's just not worth it. So I apologize for that. Yeah.
I try to fix it, but it was just too much. So
it was just too much. So So that's, you know, it is what it is. But being able to sit down with her and actually go, dude, because I never got to play it or anything. That was literally my first time seeing it in person. And that looks like a lot of damn fun. And I believe we'll be getting review codes here later this week. I know some people have been doing some early access streams already. But when I was talking to Remedy there on site, they were like, yep, we'll make sure you guys get some review codes. So we'll have hands on with that later this week. And we'll probably talk about it next week or something like that. So that was really good. Now, here's something I haven't even told you, Danny. This is my first time talking about this.
Really? Okay. But what?
I played.
I have no idea.
I played. It was Doom Eternal. I played Doom Eternal.
Really?
On Stadia.
Stadia. We have to talk about that. Because honestly, I love the Doom series. And actually, lately, I've been playing the old ones. I just finished 3 that came out on the original Xbox and also for PC. I think a lot of people slept on that game, in my opinion, but it was dope. And the last Doom that came out for the current consoles, awesome. But I'm excited for the next one, man. I'm very excited. Now, let's talk about both. Let's talk about your experience with Stadia and your experience playing the game.
Honestly, I'm not a fan of Doom, so I don't want to waste too much time on that because my opinion really doesn't matter. It's Doom. It was fine. But this is the point I want to make on it. You know, shout out to the nameless person that hooked your boy up and got me in. Because let me tell you this about Gamescom. They have Stadia out there on the public floor. Chaos. Yeah. Absolute chaos. Really? So there was no way in hell I was standing in line to be able to play it on the public
thing. I thought they had it both at the public and the business area.
But this is my point. That's the point I'm trying to make to you. There was no way I was playing it on the public floor. So I didn't have an appointment or anything for the Stadia booth, but there was a little there was a person out there that hooked your boy up, is what I'm trying to say. So anyways, the point I'm making is I've now played Project X Cloud and I've now played Stadia. I'm shocked that these words are about to come off of my lips. It was really good. It was really good. I'm telling both. Like, again, just like with Project X Cloud, if you did not tell me this was streaming from the internet, I wouldn't have known. I would not have known. There was no lag. It was playable, responsive, the whole thing. I had no issues at all. And again, I realize I'm at an event. It's a somewhat controlled environment. Obviously, they probably had the server right on the other side of the wall or something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it worked. I'm so curious now to try out both of these in the public, in the wild of the internet. I'm not going to run out and go buy the Founders Edition or anything crazy like this right now, but now it's starting to make sense to me why, you know, Bungie has Destiny 2 on there, because I was always like, this ain't going to work and irresponsive, but I'm telling you, man, and I know it's not going to be for everyone. I know, like, someone like myself, I have huge bandwidth pipe here in my house. Pretty sure, I know for a fact the Google servers are just right up the road from me. They're not very far from me at all in LA. I would assume Azure stuff for Microsoft is very similar. So I'm probably going to have very good response time here at my home. But it now has piqued my interest. I have to admit, the Stadia thing piques my interest now. I think if Stadia can get some exclusive stuff on that platform and it works the way that they're claiming it does, maybe they got a shot. That's all I'm saying. They might have a shot.
I have a question about that. So I know xCloud, you played it on mobile, right? On a mobile device.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it the same for Stadia, or you try out different devices on that one?
No, on Stadia, I actually played it. It was almost like a tablet, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was fine. It was fine.
So the quality, how was the quality?
Great. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm telling you, Danny. If you didn't tell me, I wouldn't have known. That's what I'm saying. This is the point I'm trying to make right now. I would not have known. So that was probably my biggest surprise of Gamescom, because I was 1,000% skeptical of Stadia, but it worked. It really did. I was very surprised with that. I really was.
So do you see yourself maybe buying a game or two through Stadia?
No, no, I'm not doing that. That's disappointing. Look, you piqued my interest, but I still cannot wrap my head around giving you $60 and is locked into a cloud streaming only. This is why Project X Cloud still makes way more sense to me, because I can buy, as an example, I'm just randomly throwing something out. I could buy, you know, Forza Horizon 5, but I can still play it on my Xbox. I can still play it on my PC, and I can download it to my local hard drive and play it. But I also am going to have that option to stream it as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my only thing with Stadia. It still doesn't feel tangible to me, but I will say this, the tech works. And look, I can see 10 years from now, look, this technology does work. And I can see, as we advance and broadband becomes more viable throughout the globe, it making sense. I mean, cloud streaming is the future. I mean, it's just the same way we stream things from Netflix and all that right now. I mean, there was a time and place we thought that was crazy, but it works and it's commonplace now. So I get that cloud gaming will eventually be a common thing. I just think we're in such early days right now that I'm very skeptical of just putting my chips all in on just one platform like Stadia, especially with Google's track record. They will have to prove to me that they're in this for the long haul. And there's just no way we can know that right now until we get some time. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where we are with that.
You know, right now, I think that was the first time that was available, playable, hands-on for the public, because it wasn't at E3 at all. I know they had
it was not
for the media, but never for the public. So yeah, Paris, that was the first time, man. So it's good that you were there, experience with hundreds of thousands of people that were there at the event.
Gamescom. For sure.
So it's good. It's good to hear that. Was it a big booth?
Yes, it was huge. I'm pretty sure I got a picture of it on Twitter, where I took a
picture. You've been posting so much.
I've been posting a lot of stuff. Because again, I rolled through there during the media day on Tuesday, where the public wasn't there, so it wasn't crowded. So I got to see all the booths, like the Avengers in that same area. They had a huge booth, you know, in the back and everything. But yeah, they had a huge Stadia presence there. It was pretty significant. I did walk through there when the public was there. Suffocating. It was so funny too, because I saw the Bungie contingent. Like, I saw Deej. They were waiting to go on stage, and it was like, you know how you make that eye contact, like, oh my god, all these human beings in one place. And then, you know, I kept going, but it was good. Like I said, that was probably my biggest surprise of Gamescom, was the fact that I walked away from Stadia actually believing in it. I did.
I'm in shock. Honestly, Pavers didn't even mention this to me at all, so I had no idea.
No, I was like, I gotta say this, you know, on the thing, because he won't believe me.
That's good.
No, it was good.
Now, overall, like, just compare, because a lot of people are gonna be like, okay, this is the event to go to instead of E3. Do you agree? Do you think
E3, here's the thing?
Just compare.
Here's the thing, and I had another anonymous source. I had many anonymous sources tell me this while I was at the event. Gamescom is the biggest convention in the world, period. Not gaming, period. The most human beings, if that even is the right phrase, but the most amount of people to come to one thing is Gamescom. I mean, we're talking in the hundreds of thousands, and I got videos, everything. I could show you just the chaos, and it's controlled chaos. That's the crazy thing about it. They do a great thing where you have the business center areas for the media and the trade visitors, as they call them. So we can get all our coverage, you know, they can do all their business meetings, everything. And you're not a part of the madness of those crowds, right? You can completely separate the two. Plus, they have the media day where I have all day to go to all the halls and see all the public things, check them all out if I so choose. And it's not going to be, again, the chaos of these hundreds of thousands of people, you know, coming on. Like, look, Gamescom is huge compared to E3. I would say the convention center compared to the convention center in Cologne, E3, the LA convention center is probably a quarter of the size. And I'm talking both halls. It's probably a quarter of the size of everything that is in Cologne. It's that big, because it needs to be with that many human beings in one spot. But the beauty of what they do is they control the traffic very well between the halls going back and forth. So it's not like you're just suffocating trying to get back and forth to things. But for someone like myself who's trying to cover the event, there is no way in hell you could cover anything on that show floor. So again, I spent all my time the last few days up in the business center. I think That last day, I didn't go on a public show, not once. I stayed in the business center the entire time. And even the day before, I just went down one time. I looked, I was like, oh my God. And then I went right back up. It was that much. And everybody was warning me of this, that it was just chaos down there. But I would say compared to E3, for us, we probably would get more done at Gamescom than we would at E3, believe it or not.
Because of the business side, right?
The way it works, the way it's set up, you will get more coverage. Like I kept telling you, if you and Pete were here with me, we'd have wait. Because again, by myself, I can only do so much because there's only so much time in the day. But if all three of us were here together, we'd have got way more done. Wait, because we had access to everything was up there. Everybody was up there. We'd have got access to every game, all that stuff, if we were there. Mm-hmm. That's my takeaway from Gamescom. So if and or when that opportunity comes up again that I can go to Gamescom, I'm going to do it. And now that I know Germany, I know how to get around. Like I know how to do public transportation system. Like here again, here's how cool the public transportation system was. My hotel was on the other side of the river and I was able to go from my hotel room to getting on a train, to getting off, to getting to the business center in Gamescom 20 minutes. 20 minutes. That's how quick it was.
Wow.
It was that quick.
It takes us longer.
Yes.
At E3.
Yes.
That's crazy.
This is what I'm saying, because they even have an entrance for all the trade visitors, for all the media and stuff. So it's not like I had to walk through the main, like I have that video where I'm coming through the main entrance and you see all the people. I don't have to do that. I can go through the side thing and whoo, I'm right in. No problem. Easy.
Yes.
So I love the organization of Gamescom. I really did. I thought the organization of it was really good. And like I said, I would have absolutely no problem going again by myself, with a crew, whatever the case may be. I will say this, next year, if and or when I go, I'm bringing a camera. I'm bringing my camera. Like, it was funny. I ran into RX. He's a YouTuber, really great guy. Mm-hmm. Got to see the setup he had. Ran into Destin Legarry, some other people, saw their setup. That was the only thing. Because I didn't know. I was ignorant to how things work. But now I know I can bring a full-on tripod, full camera, everything. I can do video interviews, all that easy.
That's good. That's good, man. That's good. So no Ubisoft, no EA, no PlayStation.
I just didn't have time. I just didn't have time. I had to turn down so many interview things because I just didn't have the time. And that was the unfortunate thing.
And it's you only.
Yeah, because it was me only. And full disclosure, I was there for another reason as well, which I cannot talk about right now. I will at some point. And that also cut into my time as well. So just to be cognizant of that. But the things that I did get to see, it was great. Everybody was so cool in Germany. I had such a great time. There was never any drama, awkward moments, anything. It's just the hospitality that was shown to me was fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, I have to give a direct shout out to CD Projekt Red, because I'm telling you, it was the craziest thing. Obviously, that video and stuff went viral and everything. Yo, I went to that public booth that first day and I saw some of the guys there that I knew were talking and everything, and they just treated me great. People in the public, it was so funny. I'm talking to them. People in the public were like pointing at me because obviously they knew who I was. And that was great. I went to the private booth. They just gave me the total VIP experience when I was there. Anything I wanted, needed, asked, they made sure I was taken care of. It was just a great experience, man. So I have to directly give them a shout out. I also got to give a shout out to Xbox. Xbox took care of me while I was there. Anything I needed, questions, everything, just absolute, just VIP, even Square Enix when I was there. Because, again, this goes to show you, this is a crazy thing. It's like me being an American there, I'm one of the rare one. So PR people that we knew in various spots, they were just like, wait, you're here? I'm like, yeah, I'm here. And it was like, they made sure I was taken care of, answered all my questions, all that. It was a really great experience. And even like I said, with Private Division, just shout out to those, because like, the PR person that was there that helped me was also the PR person that was at the preview event for the Outer Worlds. So we made sure I was taken care of. Just overall, I cannot complain at all. I mean, it was really good.
Before we go to the interview, Paris, and I know you're in a hurry, you know what was one of my highlights from you as a person just following you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Was your last night that you got to see and got to meet the community, local community in Germany of Destiny. That was really cool. Really awesome to see.
No, it was. And actually, I was going to save that to the end because I wanted to talk about that more specifically. So, again, you know, I've been playing Destiny since Jump. Obviously, you know, I have somewhat of a relationship with Bungie. And I would just say, even to them, you know, especially I look directly in the camera and say, you know, Deej, thank you, everyone over there that I got to meet from the Bungie Away team. It was fantastic conversations that we had. Thank you for getting me in to be able to sit down and do an interview to talk about Shadowkeep. But yeah, I even got to hang out with those guys after hours and went to that Destiny community event. You know, Bife was there, met some people from Pezzagard, all that. But just the German community, Destiny community, what, dude, it was crazy. It was so funny. So I have to say this real quick. So I'm sitting down with a few of the devs and we're all talking all that. So some people from the German community actually knew who I was, but some didn't. So they thought I worked for Bungie and they were treating me like I worked for Bungie. And I'm like, no. I'm just a regular dude like you guys are. But even the people that recognized me, and I had one gentleman in specifically, he spoke a little bit of English, but not a lot. And he wanted to take all these pictures with me and he was hugging me and he just knew Gamertag Radio and all this stuff. I even had a couple dudes that said they had heard me on Crucible Radio. And because they heard me on Crucible Radio, that got them to start listening to Gamertag Radio. Right. Oh, and now they listen now. So that was real cool. And it was just a great time, man. I mean, that's why I love that community so much, the Destiny community, because everything was all good. Like watching Deej in action with the community, he is literally a rock star to the community, just going from table to table, shaking hands, hugs, pictures, the whole thing. You know, we're all drinking beer and just having a good time. And it was really awesome. So I don't know if you saw on like Twitter, I had that picture that I posted of just everyone that was there. And I know Deej posted one. I put a video up too, all that stuff. It was a really good time. And it again is why, like, I had tweeted out right before I was getting on the plane, don't be ashamed to express your excitement over the things that you enjoy. And that was probably the number one thing that I learned from Gamescom was, and I'll just take the two prime examples of this. I obviously talk about Cyberpunk a lot. I tweet about it a lot. I show that I truly enjoy that game. And I asked directly, I go, am I annoying on Twitter? Am I doing too much? I asked them because I wanted to know. I legitimately, I was like, this is not going to hurt my feelings because I want to know. Yeah. And they were like, absolutely not. That as a development studio, they love to see that passion that fuels them to keep going to get to the finish line. Right. And like, even I got to talk about Destiny and all that. It's like, look, I am too old to care if people worry about me being a quote unquote cheerleader for a game, because one other beautiful thing that came out of all this is being critical of the things that you love also matters. They pay attention to this stuff. And they want that feedback. Like, again, Aaron Greenberg is a great example of this. Aaron Greenberg and I have had a great relationship over the years because I have been tough on Xbox, because he knows I'm tough on Xbox because I freaking love Xbox, right? So you're going to be critical of the things that you truly like because you want to see them get better. And I'll just say this. I had a conversation with a gentleman that you know for another game that I really like. I'm not going to say. Fill in the blanks. You can probably figure it out. We had a nice long conversation about said game because I really like that game. I play it a lot and I have been critical of it. And they truly appreciated at the studio that I had been critical, because, again, he said he understood that, you know, it's clear you love the game because you put hundreds of hours into it, but you've expressed the things that we could get better at. And that's what we have to do as a studio, is get better at delivering content to said game. So that was the kind of takes that I took from Gamescom, is that it was great to do a lot of those face-to-face one-on-one conversations that I was able to have with people in this industry. And it was a great thing. I mean, that was the best part of it for me, was being able to know that what we do here on this podcast, Twitch stream, whatever you want to call it, does matter, in the sense that, you know, our opinions are respected, and the fact that we're able to separate the fandom from the business side of things matters, because I can love a game all I want, but if the game's not doing what it's supposed to do, I will be the first person to come on here and say something about that. But you do it in a respectful way. Be kind to people. Be respectful to people. Understand that these are human beings too. Like, obviously, the one thing that happened while I was gone was the Apex Legends thing with the devs and the community manager and the Reddit thing and all that. had a lot of discussions about that off the record at Gamescom. And it's a two-way street, man. And I will just say that to the people that are listening or watching this right now. It is a two-way street. Those developers and community people, they are people too. And you cannot go and talk to them any way that you feel like it just because the game that you like to play isn't doing what you want it to do or they put a loot box in it. To all the toxic and vitriol that comes at them, eventually they're going to snap. So trust me, I see it both ways. It's disappointing the comments that they made on Reddit to that community. But I'm going to tell you right now, you freaking deserved it. You absolutely deserve those comments thrown back at you because you get to hide behind a keyboard and say whatever the hell you want while these people are out there in the public and they don't get that, get to be anonymous because they're on Front Street. So eventually they're human beings. That stuff will get to them. They shouldn't have said it. Don't get me wrong, but I guarantee you it affects them and that's not fair to them. You know, and that's just like I said, I'm trying to say the whole point of it is, there's a way to engage with the community. They did it wrong. But at the same time, the community does not need to be out for blood for every damn thing. It's ridiculous. Show some respect to the people that makes the things that you enjoy to play. That's all it comes down to. You can be critical without being an ass. That's really all it is. But again, we're the internet. We get to be anonymous. We get to hide behind who we really are, behind, you know, an icon. So we get to say the craziest stuff that we want to say, the meanest, most hateful things possible. And again, we're all human beings. It takes 2 seconds to be kind. And I'm going to shut up after I say this one last story because I even tweeted about it. So as I'm getting on the plane in Germany, I'm in the airport about to leave. I'm actually in because I just had time to kill. So I'm in line getting a hot dog. I'm standing in line. I'm almost there about to, you know, place my order. This African lady comes up and she talks to the guy behind me and says, "Excuse me, sir. I my flight's about to leave, but I really, you know, I have to board, but I really want to, you know, get something to eat. Do you mind if I get in front of you?" He looked at her with the most disgusted look I've ever seen and said, "No." And I was like, "No, ma'am, you can get in front of me. It's fine. You can get in front of me." And it took her off guard. And I was like, no, you're good. You can get in front of me." And I looked back at the guy and with a smile and I said, "And you can get in front of me too, because I really don't care." And he felt so embarrassed that he declined. And that lady got in front of me, got her order, got on her flight, was on her way. And he waited behind me and still got his order. So again, the 2 minutes of inconvenience that you had to be kind to someone, really, you had to be an ass and say no to her. This is just my point. Be kind. Just be kind. Yeah. That's it. It ain't hard. I didn't feel inconvenienced to let a lady who sincerely was just like, "Look, I just want to get something to eat. That's it. I have to get on my flight, but I'd like to get something to eat." It's not hard. That's it. So same thing applies with gaming. You cannot like the decision that a company makes about a game, but you don't have to be an a-hole about it either. It's that simple. So that's it. Rant off. That's my Germany rant.
That Germany rant. All right, Paris, so we're going to play the interview, and once we come back, we wrap it up. I know you have to go. Right?
Yes. So I'll set it up real quick. So,
all right, go for it.
This is an interview with Ovar. I'm going to screw his name up, but it's Ovar Hellesen. I know I said it earlier, but he is the UI and UX director over at Bungie. And then Deej, who you all know, he is the communication director over at Bungie. We're going to talk about Destiny 2, Shadowkeep, and just everything that people can expect. And we get in a little community talk as well. And the fact that even though we're Gamertag Radio, I have never played Destiny 2 on an Xbox, but now I can with cross save. So we're going to get into that conversation. It was a really great casual conversation. I think you guys will enjoy it. And let's go ahead and go into that interview.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Support for Gamertag Radio comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers the precision engineer tools for your family jewels. Paris, I just got my package a couple days ago. This is legit, man. I know you've been having it now for 2 months or so.
Yeah, man. Hey, yo, Manscaped is legit. Like I said, we have to do some self-care sometime in those areas that people don't like to talk about. But it's a thing that you got to do, and Manscaped is perfect for it.
Definitely. And So I have some, I have the devices here. I got some, yo, I have a crazy cool package here. Look at the sound of this. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Sounds good, man.
Yes,
it's legit, legit. Now, the first time you got this, it's pretty heavy. It's like a lot of stuff that you can get.
Yes, it is.
Too, right?
Yes, it is. I was surprised that, again, at the quality of not only the blade, but just the entire package of everything that comes with it.
That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. This is their Lawnmower 2.0 that is basically skin safe. Right, Paris?
Well, again, the blade, it does not nick you at all. You're able to confidently and safely basically take care of the areas down there that needs to be taken care of and not worrying about cutting yourself or hurting yourself.
The listener, you already put deodorant on your armpits, but why not you put deodorant on the smelliest part of your body, which also helps?
It's self-care, man. You got to take care of that. It's all about the self-care yourself, man. So that package that you're going to get from Manscaped takes care of everything for
definitely,
you.
Definitely, man. All right, so this is for our GTR listeners. This is a great deal. Take advantage of this. Get 20% off plus free shipping. Go to manscaped.com and use this code GTR. Let me repeat this one more time. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GTR at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, this is Paris. I'm here in Germany for my last interview of Gamescom. This is my first Gamescom, and this is my last interview, and I'm happy about that. And what better way to end it with Bungie and Destiny 2? I have a couple people here to talk about the game, but can you first please introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Orvar Helderson. I'm the UX director at Bungie.
Thank you for taking some time to talk to me, and Deej is here too, so I'm sure he'll chime in at some point.
Guten Tag.
Okay, so Shadowkeep, Destiny 2. I'm very excited for this because you're doing some changes to the game coming October 1st that I feel is going to fundamentally just change the way that we play the game. And one thing that you debuted here at Gamescom was the artifact and the mods that are coming with the artifact. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the mods that are coming are going to be part of the Armor 2.0 system. They're going to come in general and region-specific and then artifact flavors. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things to do to kind of like, you know, set things up for your guardians. This is all gearing towards us just becoming more of an RPG-based game. We think this is a very exciting first kind of step towards that direction. It's going to just have to kind of like be revealed how players are going to react, because there's going to be a lot of things that will change the meta in interesting ways. Yeah. I am personally excited to just see how, you know, players will react, how they're going to start to kind of like really figure out the best ways to tune things. They're going to create guides and recommendations for how to set things up to work really well with certain situations, with certain damage types and certain weapon classes. So that's going to be the excitement on my end, is that we really are just putting into the hands of the players to really just kind of like show us, you know, what works and you know, how are they going to change their behaviors in combat based on this new system.
Now, I really want to get an Armor 2.0, but, and this could be the jet lag or it could be a Professor Broman video that I watched this morning, but what's this with the artifact and the seasons, and now there's going to be an uncapped power limit? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, so the kind of like the soft cap is going to be 960, mm-hmm. But then you will get power bonuses from the artifact. The artifact is valid within the season itself,
right.
And then it goes away at the end of the season, and there's going to be a new artifact that comes the next season after. So this is going to be the thing that allows players to kind of go above the cap, and so that's why they're kind of referring to this uncapped, you know, because there's going to be ways to get it up. Now, you won't be able to infinitely get it up because, of course, a season is only for a certain amount of time.
And so you have in that time period.
That natural like cap. But we don't actually know what that cap is. That's going to be the thing that will be exciting to see what players can achieve. They've often surprised us.
Okay. Now, Armin 2-0, this is what truly has me excited about what you have coming, because I think just since the inception of Destiny and just, what are we in, year five? I don't know, 2014, whatever it's been. There's always been that balance of, I have to have the most powerful gear, I have to have the most powerful armor, but I look like a hot mess as far as the way my Guardian looks, right? Because it's about clearing the raid or whatever I'm trying to do versus looking pretty. You know, it really got to the point in Destiny where I literally had my tower outfit just so when I was in the tower, I could look cute in the tower versus when I'm actually going out in the world doing something. But what you're doing with Armor 2.0, and more specifically by breaking things up into the mods and the energy system that goes with that, not to mention they're called ornaments, right?
Yeah, the universal ornaments.
That's what has me excited, because like you said, this is kind of that first step into making this an RPG. And just when I watched that live stream, because at first I wasn't understanding it, but watching the live stream, it really clicked for me. I go, okay, I see what they're doing here. I can have my fashion show, but I can also have these multiple builds depending on the type of encounter that I'm going into. Not to mention, now you're allowing me to play that I want to play. So can you talk a little more about Armor 2.0 and exactly what Guardians can expect?
Yeah, I mean, the two kind of aspects is the appearance as well as the loadout. And so you're going to be able to really just like do both of those things without having to compromise one or the other. So if you want to make sure that you have like the perfect loadout to go into battle, the ornaments are universal. So you can apply the ones that you really like to make you look the way you want to look. And then the loadout can still be the one that is appropriate. And then you're going to do more of the changing of the loadout on the existing armor rather than having to kind of force yourself to have like multiple different armor pieces. And it's going to be very cheap to make changes. And once you get a mod, you kind of own it. It's not a consumable anymore. So players are going to have a lot of fun, we believe, with just kind of like making different changes between different activities. And it's going to be super cheap. Like it's like 500 glimmer or something like that to swap between them. And so that's going to become much more common, is to just be willing to try different things out. Like, okay, I'll try this mod now and see how that performs. Okay, next encounter, I'm going to try this other mod. So that's going to be something that we believe is a new behavior, and it's going to be exciting to monitor.
I haven't even talked about Shadowkeep or Season of the Undying yet. I will in just a second, but one last thing on the Armor 2.0, specifically with the mods, where we're going to be able to get those in the world. I'm sure there's going to be more common ones you can find doing things, but you can expect some of this specifically come from things like raid activities, nightfall, things of that nature.
Yeah, there's going to be, once you get from the gunsmith, you're going to get mods from world drops.
Yep.
The more pinnacle ones you'll get from more pinnacle activities. And so definitely the higher tier things are going to drop higher tier things that are going to help you even more in those specific activities.
Even the nightfall has new options you can use to select your intended difficulty. So if you select a more difficult version of the Nightfall, you're also going to be earning some of the new currencies from these new economies that enable you to use those systems and to upgrade your Guardian.
Okay. Now, Shadowkeep, the whole reason we're here. So from what I took with the second trailer that you had here at Gamescom, Shadowkeep is kind of the entry into this. And is it fair to say once we, quote unquote, get past the campaign of Shadowkeep, that kind of opens up Season of the Undying? What's the difference between the two?
So the difference is Shadowkeep has, you know, like the story of the Aeris Morn, there's the Hive, whereas Season 8 is more around a story about Vex.
Right.
There's going to be some very interesting things that are going to get revealed to players as they play through it that we don't really want to spoil. But the thing we're really trying to do now, as we've kind of like experimented with different models of releasing content, is we want to make it so that going from one season to the other makes sense from a narrative standpoint. Like they're kind of, the story is going to tie together in some way and kind of like bridge over in a way that makes sense. And so that's really what we're excited to do now, is to see how we can tie those things out a little bit more.
Yeah, the community will begin the Season of the Undying. Similar to the way that the curse was unleashed on the Dreaming City with the completion of the Last Wish raid, We are very interested in exploring ideas where the community has an impact on the world. Destiny is a single evolving world, and the things that the players do have consequences, lasting consequences, like the death of Cade, or like the unleashing of the curse, or things like that. It's more interesting if the world of the game changes over time, and it's more personal for the player if they feel like they had some hand in doing those things. These are the themes that we're exploring and playing with, and these are the things that we really always wanted Destiny to be.
Yeah.
All the way back to like 2013, when we first saw a public event happen and a fallen catch spawned in the atmosphere and knocked over the gantry with the colony ships on board.
Yes.
And people said to me, when I go and I find that colony ship, I want to see it on the ground like that. And I thought, well, that's just crazy. Like, we can't do anything like that. But we're really in a place now where we can make the world of the game feel alive. And we can do things where people feel like the things that they do in the game have meaning and have weight and have consequences. And I'm really excited about that.
No, I am too. And just to add on to what you were saying, I guess that's what has me excited about the future. Like, I think the moon, obviously, you're remaking the moon. It's a reimagining of what it was in Destiny 1. But, and please correct me where I'm wrong here, I look at the Dreadnought as kind of the beta, and the Dreaming City being that 1.0 of giving us this in-game space, I should say, that you're constantly going to revisit. Like Deej said, we're the community. We're the ones that are actually impacting what's happening in there, and it's changing over a cycle. So I would imagine with Shadowkeep and the moon, we could see something similar as far as the moon itself kind of being an in-game destination for Destiny 2 with Shadowkeep.
Yeah, I mean, what we've really done is, like, we've always learned something new and very kind of valuable every time we release an expansion. And one of the things that we've definitely seen with Forsaken was how a destination like Dreaming City was just, received well by players, where they kind of felt like there was these things that would happen in the world that kind of made some kind of a sense in the story. As players would do things, certain things would kind of like evolve and change. There was just a lot of things that they could do within the spaces that were available to them. Like, there were these like lost sectors, there were these like secrets, and there was a bunch of things that you could kind of chase long after you had kind of still explored all the different regions. There were always some things to still discover. And so we really wanted to kind of like use that learning and kind of apply it to the moon. So even though the moon is going to have a very nostalgic kind of familiarity associated with it, there's a lot of things that are going to be new. And all these new kind of things that we've introduced since the moon was in D1, like the lost sectors and a lot of the different activities, are all going to be there. And there's going to be a lot of new areas that players have not seen. And of course, there's going to be all these things that are kind of hidden away through the mystery of the story. Around Eris Morn and these nightmares that she's encountering. It's going to be a pretty exciting destination that's going to have a lot of these kind of ritual activities that players have come to expect from recent expansions.
Okay, final question. This is for both of you. There's been a lot going on with this game in the past few months. I mean, cross save activated while we've been here in Germany, for better or for worse, right? But I'm just curious your thoughts, maybe even just your personal thoughts on this. I mean, how excited are you for the future of everything you're doing? You're doing cross save. You got New Light coming out, which is this free to play, which I personally think is just going to be such an influx of new players coming in. You're going on Stadia, which we'll see what happens with that in the future. How is that going to work out? And then obviously you're radically changing the way we're playing the game with Armor 2.0 and the mods and the artifact and how the seasons are now their own entity now, where you play, where you don't necessarily have to play Undying. You could skip it, come to the next season, and you can continue from there. So just from a personal standpoint, how are you feeling about the future?
I mean, I think it's never been a better time to join Destiny as now, and it's going to be really easy for me to recommend it to a friend. It's going to be such an easy entry. You just tell someone, hey, go give it a chance. You don't even have to like pay anything. You just go play it, and they're going to have all this content available to them. everything that we released in year one of Destiny 2 is going to be playable. So there's going to be so many things that they can try out. We've completely revamped the new player experience through New Light, where players are going to be able to get introduction to the game in the way that we believe is shown in the best light. pun intended. And then they're going to... And then they're going to be able to basically see a little bit of everything that the game has to offer in a very short amount of time, and then jump into some of those activities with her friends that have gotten to play everything already, instead of having this model that we used to have before, where it was a lot of effort to actually like get a new person to kind of join you and be able to do something that's relevant to you. You had to kind of walk them through all this content before they could get to the point that you were already at. So I'm very excited about that, because that means we can really just like get more friends playing with you, because Destiny is really the best playing with friends.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
I have always admired the way this community interacts with itself. I've always been grateful for the fact that the Destiny community is welcoming to new players. We're taking that positivity now and we're letting it off the chain. We are unleashing it in some bold new ways. I mean, there are going to be so many people that say, New Light, free on Steam, I'll give that a try.
Right. Yeah.
Or PlayStation or Xbox. I mean, you're going to be able to take your first steps into this larger world for free. And then you're going to be able to discover it at your own pace. Maybe you make some social connections. I hope upon all hopes that you end up joining a clan. I'm going to be able to interact with people who play this game wherever they thrive, which is what our community management strategies are. Whether you're on Bungie.net or Reddit or Twitter, soon coming to Discord, we like to meet the community on their own ground and interact with them there. It's been difficult for me to do that with a progression path that was separated on every platform. Almost right. Impossible. Now I can, on my PC at work, play a strike with some people I've never met. I can go home that night and I can tell my old Xbox Live clan, check out what I won at work today.
Yeah.
You know, I can go and I can, you know, visit with some of my favorite people on PlayStation 4. You know, be like, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while, you know, like, carry me to some Crucible wins. You know, to have a unified adventure on every single platform, to have a world where we can visit each other. New Light means Crucible with anybody in this community, or Gambit, or whatever you want to,
right.
You know, whatever is included in New Light. Obviously, the premium content, like the new raids and things like that, somebody might install New Light and play through it and, you know, get everything they can out of it, and then they can just help themselves to one season with all these questions about being content complete. We're making Destiny more accessible. We're making Destiny a game that lets everybody decide their own level of engagement. At the same time, the possibilities for customization and for everybody to really find their uniqueness as a hero, I think we will look back at this moment a month from now, or 2 months from now, after we've had a real chance to really get used to it, and say, I really can't believe how different it feels to be a Guardian right now. There are so many more possibilities to interact with other people and to combine my strengths with other people's strengths, and I'm looking forward to that. And then in November, when Stadia comes out, it'll be fascinating for us to really discover how people take this game with them throughout the adventures in their real life.
Again, gentlemen, I'll just say one last thing on what you said, Deej. It's been amazing for me, because I've been there since the alpha, right? And I've seen all the ups. I remember the loot cave back in the day, just everything that has happened in this game, good, bad, and the ugly, right? But to see where you've taken it now in the past few months with these changes, like you said, it's bringing everyone together. Because, like, even this morning, just looking at Twitter and looking at cross-save once it started working, and the excitement that people were having, like, people were posting, I finally got to do my first PC raid with the crew, da-da-da, or I just went to Xbox for the first time. Here's my Steam tag. Here's my gamer tag from Xbox or whatever, because we haven't had that opportunities before. Like, me, personally, I played on PlayStation because that's where the exclusives were. So that made my decision back in 2014.
No more exclusives.
There's no more of that. So I've never played Destiny on Xbox. Never. And we're Gamertag Radio, and I've never played Destiny on Xbox. But now I can. And, you know, I had dabbled with PC already, but now I can As soon as I get home, that's the first thing I'm doing. I'm hopping on PC. I'm taking my PS4 progress, going on PC, and playing with my clan that's been on PC begging me to come over. I was like, no, dude, they said cross-save. Wait till they do cross-save. I'm going to come then. So the future looks bright. I'm happy and proud to be a part of this community. I probably tweet and talk about it too much as it is,
not at all.
Yeah, you can do it more. Yeah, I can do more, right? No, but the point I'm saying on that is just I like the game for everything that it is, and it's not perfect. I mean, no game's ever going to be perfect, but like you said, Deej, this has been the best gaming community I've ever been a part of because people have reached out and, like you said, walk you through a raid, take you on a strike or whatever. And yeah, we're like a family, so there's going to be arguing and things that happen along the way. But the great thing about it is this community always rallies together, and you just can't ask for anything more. So that's it. That's the interview. This is my last one for Gamescom. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And I will see what's it? See you, Starside. Is that what see I should say? Starside. I saw a bife out there, so I want to say a bife
see
clip.
See you, Starside.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're done. Thank you.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, that was the interview. And anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. Again, it's been a long week. I will admit, by the time I got to the middle of the week, I really started missing my family and I was ready to come home. It's long, man. I mean, I was gone from Saturday until Friday night. That's
almost,
you know,
a week.
Virtually a week I was away. So it gets long, but it was good. It was a great experience. Very happy I got to do it. Very happy I got, like, oh, that was the other thing. Because I learned the public transportation system, I even went to the mall in Cologne. I was walking around and, you know, getting souvenirs and all that. So it was great, man. Oh, one last story I have to tell. So the first night I'm in Cologne, I'm walking around, and, you know, our good friend Mike over at US Gamer, we always have the inside joke with him that he goes all the way to Europe to go to Subway to get cookies. So it's just an inside joke. But I see a KFC. I see a KFC in a McDonald's. So I'm taking a picture of it because I'm going to tweet it at Mike as a joke. This woman comes up to me, grabs my arm, and I'm pretty sure it was Turkish. I'm pretty sure she's Middle East. It sounded like it was Turkish. Grabs my arm and starts yelling at me about something in Turkish. I'm like, I speak English. I don't know what you're saying. She looks at me, gives me the most disgusted look, yells out something else in Turkish, and walks away. That was the craziest thing ever. I'm like, where am I? What's going on here? So that was hilarious. But
that was so random. And that was
It was so random. And that was like the only weird experience I had when I was there. Other than that, everyone else was so cool and
wait
chill.
Wait a minute. You remember, you told me a story about getting there when you took a cab, I think it was, or bus or train, I don't know, something.
Oh, okay. So again, and look, now I'm an expert of how to take trains and stuff in Germany. But when I first got out of the airport in Frankfurt, you have to take a train. And the schedule I was given of the gate, the train number and all that didn't match what I'm looking at of what it's saying. It was a different gate because I'm talking about going to Cologne. So if I would have just blindly followed the schedule that was given to me, I would have been in Dundeldorf or whatever it's called. I was going there. I really would have been lost. So I had to make the executive decision. I was like, that's not the right one. Get on this one because this one says Cologne. So
you
I just got on it. I didn't know if I was going to yell that or what. I just got on it. And I was like praying that I went to the right thing, but then I figured it out. So look, by the time I left, oh dude, I was a G when I was leaving because I rolled up to the central station. I'm looking at the map. Okay, I'm gonna take this here this time, and boom, I'm right back to the airport, and it worked out great. So again, I love going to foreign countries like that and figuring it out. And you know what I mean? Because that was a lot of fun. So it was a good time, really good time.
Dope. All right, everybody, stay tuned. We have two interviews coming up. One, we're going to save for next week, because I know next week is a holiday, so stay tuned. So we have Outer Worlds and CD Projekt Red, right? Well, Cyberpunk?
Yeah, we're going to have the interview with Cyberpunk, and then we're going to do that interview with the Outer Worlds as well.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also share our content to the world, to your friends, family, everybody. Just share it if you like this and stay tuned. By the way, continue sending us questions because we're getting a lot of questions for fan mail. So we're planning.
Continue.
We're planning to have an episode just strictly fan mail. So please continue to send us questions, voicemail, all that. And we're definitely going to play on the podcast. All right. And that's about it. Pretty soon, there's going to be some changes coming up because I have to move to a different location. I have to go up north. That's coming up very soon. So I don't know. Paris might be recording. I might be recording solo for a certain situation. We'll see. I keep you guys posted. I can't say what it is or where or what, but stay tuned. Just want to say is a lot of changes coming up. So. And that's it. Paris, what happened? I know you said something, but.
No. You can just go ahead and wrap up the show. We're good. Okay. We're good.
All right. So until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.